Crime Report is brought to you by the Suffolk Crime Stoppers. Tips Hotline, folks, 1-800-220-TIPS in Suffolk County, 220-8477. All calls there kept confidential. Monetary reward, in many a case, $5,000 issued for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, retired sergeant, NYPD, is a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. Current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, third edition, and the Sarge, a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. Ladies and gentlemen, we say a very good morning to Joe. Sarge, how are you? Hope all is well.
Good morning, Jay. Hope all is well with you.
Joe, never a dull day. Now you got it all out regarding these nursing homes and the hiding, the cover-up. His top aide declaring that to Democratic state lawmakers. Joe, these things, you know, they have twists and turns, but right now it is out there. It is bombshell city here on a Friday.
Yeah, no, I was. I heard a little bit about it last night before I went to bed, and then this morning when you see Cuomo's side trending on Twitter, then you wonder, what's that all about? And then you start looking into it. It's going to be interesting to see how this goes, because remember, he wrote a book about how well he did during the pandemic, and I wonder if they're going to use any piece of that as part of the investigation into what he did.
Yeah, forget the book. I mean, the book would actually look good in the fireplace this weekend with temperatures right now feeling like mine above. But with that being said, man, I'll tell you, you talk about a scramble, you're going to have subpoenas. Joe, I'd imagine there's got to be subpoenas here. You know, there's got to be something here. There's got to be maybe, you know, the stripping, without question, stripping of executive powers. Listen, I don't even know where to go with this thing. What's next? After Tish's report a couple of weeks ago, Tish James, you know, let the carousel begin right now. I mean, it's unreal. It really is. You can go in so many different directions with this thing. You can't scramble anymore. You can't hide, because word hid is out there. Quote, hid. Audio. Melissa DeRosa, right-hand gal to the governor. It's out there, Joe.
No, I know the evidence is out there. Let's just see what they're going to do about it. We've seen things before where they've had evidence of things, and then they just go away. People forget about it. Like you said, I heard, you know, right before you started, you know, we started talking, there was basically saying that, you know, the Post is the only one that's covering it. So if the time starts picking it up and everything else, then I think this thing will start growing legs.
Well, let's see, because you know how the media works these days, right? The media is really not the media because they don't really cover stories, because it's all about party affiliation and protection. That's what it's all about. But you know what? It's out there now. So everybody's fair game here. All right, let's get to some stories. We've got a major one that broke. I tell you, we are chock full here. Investigators in Queens, Joe, 1.8 million counterfeit masks, PPE, in Long Island City. It is the largest ever, I do believe, involving fake masks all during this pandemic. Quite a heist and seizure here.
No, I mean, this is something that they've been going on for a while. The government's been investigating these things. They're coming in from all over the place. And here's the problem, right? We believe that they're going to be safe. We believe that wearing masks is going to help us. And if we're buying masks that that are fake, what's actually happening over here? So 3M is, as you know, is one of the biggest producers of these masks. And they've actually put out a guide or help fighting fraud and counterfeiting and price gouging. And I would advise people to go online and just take a look at it, because they go through all the different things. There's a number system. There's a whole bit different things. So if you're buying these in bulk, like, say, if you're the hospitals or whatever, the police departments even, make sure you go to this website before buying it and take a look at the numbers. And like everything else, if the deal looks too good to be true, it probably is.
No question. Also found in the warehouse, as we mentioned prior, besides the PPE stuff, you had hand sanitizers, wipes, kids' masks, construction masks, gowns. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, of course, they're all being examined now to determine the authenticity of it all. So lots of arrests here. Lots of arrests. So a very, very big deal happening in Long Island City, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get to this driver, Jill. We talked about this story. I remember when it broke a couple of years ago, well, a year and a half ago, actually, folks. The driver who fled police, it was a stolen car, caused a Middle Island crash, killed three people. I've read this story. This guy, Nariq Belford, he's 19. It happened when he was 17. Killed three people, pled guilty to manslaughter and felony assault. So a horrific story. Guy was going about 106 miles an hour, Joe, right on Route 25 before the crash. You know, being chased, went through red lights, crossed into oncoming traffic before the crash. And it all happened in like 3 or 4 minutes. Just a horrific scene it was.
You know, I remember when we first talked about this. And like I said, when you're traveling over 100 miles an hour, anything, you hit a rock, you hit a pebble, I mean, you're going to lose control over it. Especially if you're a young driver. I mean, you don't really have that many skills at that point. And also about the car itself. I don't know. I guess, you know, being a teenager, you know, led him into doing something like this. But even as an adult, there was an accident I heard about in Pennsylvania where somebody was traveling 117 miles an hour on a route road and killed a few people when he lost control of the car. It's like, you gotta, there's a reason why we have speed limits. It's not because of anything other than you lose control of the car. I mean, especially on Long Island, right, Jay? I mean, some of our streets are like these winding roads and the like. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what goes through people's minds.
Yeah, it's terrible. In Belford right now, you know, he's going to have the book thrown at him without question. And deservingly so. Three people dead because of him. Joe, we talked about this where you have the five current or former LIRR employees. They pled not guilty during the week. The indictment that charged them with fraud and conspiracy, why they covered up a scheme in which they illegally got tens of thousands of dollars in unearned overtime pay. So and these guys, you know, they're in trouble. They are in big trouble here because, you know, this has been an ongoing deal with this railroad. You know, you can't blame it on a punch clock anymore, a time clock, all right? This is just blatant neglect without question. And if you are a rider of this transit line, okay, where you are threatened every other year with a rate hike, you have to be outraged. You're outraged because it's guys like this, the five of these bums, who make it harder for you. Because you're paying all this out, you know, guys who are making $200,000-$300,000 a year. You know, give you an example. This one guy, the MTA's top earner in 2019, he made more than, listen to this. This wants to make you throw, this wants to make you vomit. Vomit! $344,000 in OT in addition to his $117,000 annual salary. Do the math, folks. Okay, do the math. I mean, the guy's pulling in $450K. Joe, when does it end?
Well, I mean, it hasn't ended with the last couple of scandals where they're breaking time clocks and everything else. Now, I don't know if you caught this, but the U.S. District Attorney is actually prosecuting this case. So they're looking at federal charges here. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because I don't know if that's happened in the past. So it's, you know, once the feds get involved in something like that, then the likelihood of you going to jail is pretty high, and we're going to jail for a number of years more than you would at the local level. So
yeah.
Maybe that kind of deterrence will be in effect after this.
Joe, that's a great point. Great point. And, you know, by going to this next level, you know what? Nobody's messing around anymore here. You're stealing money here. You're stealing money. Why does this happen? We got to get Pat Foy on. Got to get Pat Foy on next week. I can't figure this out. This happens all the time. All the time. And you know the stupidity of it all is guys like this think they can get away with it. Oh, we'll put in the OT and we'll go fishing. I'll go down to the Bahamas. Nobody will know. I mean, come on. Unreal. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. I guess there is not going to be a guilty plea from an NYPD officer today, Joe, talking about 36-year-old Valerie Citinelli of Oceanside. Remember, she was charged with attempting to hire a hitman on her estranged husband. Was expected to enter a guilty plea, I believe, today. That's on hold now. So, 12-year veteran of the force arrested, remember, folks, in 2019. And the police said she had asked for her then-boyfriend to pay a hitman to kill her ex and, Joe, her boyfriend's daughter. So, no new court date yet, but I'll tell you, this was a crazy case here.
Yes, absolutely. You know, but it's like now there's more twists and turns. So we went from we're going to have a plea to not have a plea. So we'll be following this up for next Friday because if by then it'll be done. We'll see what happens by then.
Man, I'll tell you. And it doesn't get crazier than that. But, you know, we've been telling, you know, talking about the assistant of the case for a while now. So we'll see what happens there. Joe, another one where you have a guy from Wyandanch, clown makeup he wore, broke into a home of a victim. He had raped, I think it was 2 days earlier. He knocked out video surveillance, according to prosecutors. And, you know, now he's charged. First-degree rape, criminal sexual act, strangulation. Joseph T. Johnson, also, Joseph breaking into several cars before raping the victim back in mid-September there. Quite a case happening here.
Yeah, actually, the prosecutors refer to it as a crime spree. And, you know, he's been charged with burglary and rape. But the sick thing is that he rapes the woman and then comes back to her house 2 days later wearing the clown makeup. So video that she had at her surveillance at her home, the surveillance cameras caught this. And, you know, then prosecutors were able to identify him. Then DNA recovered from the scene, solidified that who he was, and they just made the arrest. So terrifying for this poor woman. I mean, my God.
No question about it. And can you imagine having the chunyons, the chutzpah, to do that? Raping a woman and then coming back. My goodness. And clown makeup, by the way, to boot. So incredible as it sounds. Joe, what about this one? Where a former registered investment advisor and broker from Dick Sills arrested. FBI got him, folks. The charges of cheating clients out of about $400,000. He paid off casino gambling debts and everything else. This Apostolos Pitsronis, he was a wraith, he was released on bond. And this is a guy who allegedly victimized a couple and really took them for everything they had and just spent it on everything that you can imagine. Car loans, landscaping. I mean, it's disgusting. Paying off credit cards. And this is a guy who managed these assets for this couple for over a decade. Joe, we've seen this one before, right?
Oh, God, yeah. And they didn't say exactly how much, but one of the number one things that he paid off was his casino gambling debts. So, I mean, here's an example. Like, you have somebody who's handling money and he's got a gambling problem. I mean, this is never a good mixture, my God. So, I guess, you know, so listen, Jay, every week we talk about one of these cases. If you give your money to anybody, whether it's investing, insurance, lawyers, whatever, you have to keep an eye on it and keep track on it. If you can't, if you're not allowed to keep track of your own money, then you need to go find somebody else. Because the only way that we can find out these things is just that people who are on top of their finances, and that's probably what I think happened here. We don't know the full facts yet, but I think that's what led investigators into this.
Joe, I'm with you. Listen, I don't even let the missus handle my dollars anymore. You know what? Goes right under the mattress. I know it's safe. My little puppy watches it every night, and I am good. Joe Jekyll on the crime report. Joe, a judge in Suffolk sentencing a Middle Island guy who opened fire on a police officer after fleeing from a car crash. He got 11 years in prison. You read this one, Leroy Jones. He was driving in Middle Island a couple of years. It was back in December 2019. He struck a passenger side of a Pathfinder traveling west on Middle Country. He then fled on foot after a Suffolk County police officer in a marked vehicle responded, and then Jones, so the officer then ran after Jones, right? Who then fired a handgun at the police officer. Fortunately, thank goodness, this police officer wasn't hit, did return fire, continue the pursuit, thus the arrest of following the investigation. Police got their guy, Leroy Jones, here, Joe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things where, you know, we talk about how, you know, bucolic Suffolk County is, and here you have a gun battle going on here. I mean, we're starting to see things that we've never really seen before. It's just, it would be interesting to see officer-involved shootings in Suffolk County and in Nassau County if there's been any, you know, spike in them like we've seen elsewhere. Because generally where you have more crime, more violence, less likelihood of going to jail, you also see an increase in shootings. So this is would be interesting because we've had several instances. Right? Remember we talked about last week the Huntington case, which they really still haven't updated, where they just put, you know, 30 bullet holes into somebody's house. So it's just things are getting, let's put it this way, odd is probably about the best definition that we can come up with right now. Things, something's bubbling below the surface that we can't quite put our finger on.
No question, Joe Jackal on the Crime Report. A couple of more, Joe. We have this another genius, ladies and gentlemen, another genius we can declare here. Somebody who was at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th. This is another guy. A lot of guys from Long Island doing this stuff. I guess they must have had their own private van. I don't know. But you have a guy from Farmingdale, the latest, being arrested by the FBI, this 25-year-old Greg Rubenauger. Among a group, apparently he was smoking some weed, some marijuana in the Capitol Rotunda after illegally entering the building. And then, you know, they like to take videos of themselves and others inside the building. There was one big party, Joe, happening over at the Capitol on that day. My goodness. But Rubenauger pretty much, you know, slices his own throat pretty much. But he is going to be charged beyond here.
Yeah, absolutely. He posted his pictures on Snapchat, and you just scratch your head, right? I mean, you look at all of these guys that posted their, you know, stuff on Facebook, and who sent it to their sisters, whose husband's a federal agent, and who, I mean, it's just so much stuff. You just kind of scratch your head, and I tell my students, you know, hey, listen, sometimes police work is not all that hard. I mean, when you have people like this, it just constantly posting their crimes on the internet, it's just like one of those things. This is like shooting fish in a barrel. It's absolutely hysterical.
I mean, you talk about a self indictment. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, posting pictures. A lot of guys, Joe. A lot of people from Long Island down at that siege. That's unreal. Yeah. A lot of people from the island. You know, really. A lot of people getting down there on January the 6th. Incredible as it sounds, but very true there. What else here? One more thing I wanted to and the last thing is, you know, it's interesting how the county now has retrained all its CPA, Child Protective Caseworkers. You read this? Reduced caseloads, introduced other systemic changes. It's amazing what happens, right, Joe, when an 8-year-old dies of hypothermia in a garage because of neglect on all ends here. But the county now has decided Child Protective Services and everything else has increased now the supervision of caseworkers. So a little extra training. It's a shame this stuff has to happen on such a tragic event, you know?
No, I hear you. At least they, you know, they're trying to, you know, acknowledge that fact and change it. But we still haven't heard any change of the Amber Alert system, right? We haven't heard much about that. There was lots of, you know, banging of the fists on the table, but and in the end, the story just goes away and we don't hear anything else about it.
No question. Crime Stoppers, folks, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls kept confidential. Sir, told you a lot on the plate. We'll talk to you next week. How's that, sir?
You got it. Have a great weekend, guys.